At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back, Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Norman. We're brought to you by the Mercado. Yeah.
You stupid. You are so stupid. You, Jay Foreman.
Hey, man. Hey, sometimes you got to improvise. I literally was in the dungeon.
Man. Oh, man.
It didn't work. So we're going to try one more game. Anyways. Hey, your brother will pop up on you like a Pop-Tart, man. You got to watch out for me, man. No matter where. I would have done it with the pool with the waterfall back there, but it, you know, the pumps in the bump video is probably not the Lincoln version when it's cold out there. But anyways, a lot going on, man. You know, the one thing is that, you know, we'll hit it off one more segment. You know, the biggest thing is you know, we'll cover it, you know, tomorrow. Obviously, we got Thirsty Thursday, but we'll really get to dive into it because we'll be able to do our picks. But DP, the thing is like people, you know, obviously when you make a change like this, coordinate quarterback is, it's a big change, but it's also sometimes you can play yourself out of it, right? Or it's just a change of, hey, I've been kind of wanting to give this guy a chance, and you never know what the back channel conversations are at USC. Is like, all right, this season is over, not over, but you know, we're not making a national championship run as they thought at the beginning of the season. Let's see what this guy is or has, and then, you know, kind of pull the plug a little bit too early. We saw it with Austin's you know, Indianapolis Colts. Now for Nebraska, when you do a coordinator change, and I think Coach Rule, correct me if I'm wrong, said potentially he could be here next year. Like I said, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth.
Yeah, he said his vision was that Dana's the OC in 25.
Okay, so then that lets you know. So now you're saying, okay, well, let's see how he calls plays and see how he mixes in, obviously, with the five-star quarterback and Dillariola and the plethora of receivers, and obviously how we can get this thing jump-started and getting some things moving in the right direction. Because he knows that the defense has been playing, for the most part, obviously, besides Indiana, winning football in some games. You got turnovers, you have timely stops, you had all the things you needed to do. So now you're trying to find a spark. But this is the thing that is going to be interesting, is how people move with another guy calling the plays. That's what's going to be more. I mean, obviously, I want to see Nebraska win, but I'm going to see how particular a few guys move. Right, I want to see how they get in and out of the huddle, how you break the huddle, how you obviously own your spot as far as when you're on and off the ball. All the little things that DP knows of being, obviously, he was a running back, receiver, and all that, but he knows that. DP, you know, when you're watching receivers, right, and training receivers, which you didn't for USA football and all that, you want to own your spot. What does that tell you, DP? When you own your spot, you're ready to go.
Goodness.
Right?
It's,
I mean,
presence,
how important is that?
Presence was a word that was used often. Barry Thompson and I, in trying to introduce different concepts, different route trees, different route running possibilities, and then finishing plays. Presence. Put your foot down on the ground, and if Jay Foreman's going to – whether it's Jay Foreman or Rico lining up against me, that spot is mine. I'm present in it. I own it. My first step is in ownership. I'm going to take a step away. I'm going to take leverage away from Jay Foreman with my first step. My hands, I'm going to be present with my hands. So that, you know what, if Jay Foreman, how dare you reach out to me? I'm going to chop your wrist off if you raise your hands to me. And then at the top of the route, knowing that at your break point, one, you have to be on time and in place. But two, I have to create separation. I can't just run the route just to run the route. I have to run the route to get open for my quarterback. I have to be on time for my quarterback. And then catching the ball, and then Jay, we used to talk about presence is, once the ball touches my hand, I need every one of my playmakers to change level and location with the football. Don't be where Jay Foreman knows you are, because he's going to take your hat off. And I need to be physical in doing it, being prepared for it, right? Solid, catch, tuck, get vertical, and change my spot. All of that presence shows that, one, you have a plan, you know what you're supposed to do, and you're responsible for doing what you're supposed to do. You're not just out there. Listen, if I know Jay Foreman playing at 255 pounds is going to reroute my post. He's absolutely – look, man.
They don't do that anymore, man.
Well, that's right. That's a whole – like. But you are not going to let me cross your face in any route that I'm going to run.
Right.
Whatever space Jay Foreman is in belongs to him. Right. And that's – you watch Big Ten football, presence is the thing that coaches will teach, schemes will teach, offensive line coaches will teach, defensive line coaches will teach, and then linebackers. That, listen, you own space in straight line no matter what defense you're in.
Right. You know, I think the biggest thing is with Coach Dana being a former wide receivers coach, nobody wants from the receivers to be able to coach along with Coach McGuire on the nuances of how he wants the same routes that have been called during the season ran in his offense, right? He's obviously taking full control of this offense. He's the offensive coordinator. Obviously, he signed off on it, and I think he told Coach Rule he feels like he can call plays. So now this is his, you know, he's the captain of the ship. And so when you're captain of the ship, you just like people to do things a certain way. It doesn't matter what it looks like on black and white or what was done before. You got to do it Coach Dana's way, and then obviously everybody else has got to articulate it their way, but it's how his offense with their playbook that was here previously ran in different variations. And so that's going to be key. I think you're going to see and I think Nebraska for the most part has done a pretty good job with the first 15. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with his first 20. You know, when Nebraska was really doing well in the beginning of the year, their first 15, let's say two series of offenses were pretty good. Let's see what he does with his first 20, but then also more importantly, DP, it's the last six before halftime, the first six coming after halftime, and the six in at the end of the game is going to be really, really important. With the game is close, what type of play caller, aggressive, conservative, or clock manager is Coach Dana going to be? And it might be, you know, depending on the game or how they've been playing offensively or how certain parts of the offense have been played. So if the quarterbacks and the receivers are really in a good rhythm and have an advantage, you can see them be a lot aggressive down the stretch. It doesn't really matter how much time's on the clock. Or if they're pounding the ball, then you can see them snap it, you know, close to six or seven left on the play clock. So it's going to be interesting to see his effect and then how that affects also the special teams and the defense and overall flow of the game. Because, you have a head coach recently, a very successful play caller. So how he sees the game is a little bit different than, say, like a regular play caller that's moving up from, say I was a running back coach and I'd start calling plays. It's a little bit different.
Jay, you are a quick start guy for teams, and it shows preparation, plan, mission, and then commitment to, hey, whatever we start with is our best thing. We should have success in it. You can't fail on first drives offensively or defensively. It just can't be done. And I think it will show knowledge, whatever Dana's knowledge of the talent on the team. One thing to have an idea about what he likes to call and what his tendencies are. And let me tell you, all you got to do is go back to Houston in years one and two, and you can see just watch the first two games, any two games from his first 2 years at Houston. And those tendencies, those are things that he knows absolutely and can teach absolutely, and that players can execute absolutely. And so those are going to be the eight plays that Nebraska comes out offensively with, and it will tell you what the change, the great pitch and sell to get Austin Orman on board as a coach. Those eight plays. Those eight plays are the ones that you convince all of the offensive starters to buy in. Because if you can't communicate it, teach it, and then execute it on a regular basis. Again, this week, the plays, the eight plays that they have repped the most, those are the play. Those are Dana's plays. Those are his tendencies. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, you know, those plays that, you know, say 8 to 10, maybe 12, right, that he picked out of the previous playbook. But then also, you know, like every offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, a little bit of special teams, but more or less the offense and defense, you add plays every week. So now he's had two weeks to kind of, all right, these are the type of plays or type of routes or type of concepts I want to add on top of.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know, the playbook that's here been previous. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see that first couple series. Obviously, everybody's going to try to dig and dive into everything, but I'm going to be big on the flow and the energy of the team and how that can be infectious of everybody else. And you know, with him and the way, like you said, with Houston, and he had Tank Dell and all those other guys that have went to the NFL, is once they get rolling, you know, and he finds something, he's going to find multiple ways to get back to it. And the one thing about good play callers, and you call them snipers, is that they'll attack a part of the field and not even worry about who's there, because they know there's a hole or a hole in your concept or a hole in the way that you're playing that day. So it's going to be interesting how quick he picks up on the things that USC doesn't do well and how efficiently he goes about attacking them throughout the whole game.
And with that, the scheme, USC's weakness has to also match a Nebraska strength. And that part is where the magic is going to happen for Holgorsen. If he can take a thing, again, 8 to 12 plays, Jay, that Nebraska can run effectively all week long and then use them and match them up in down and distance against USC weaknesses. And so, Jay, I'll ask you what USC's defensive weaknesses are.
Well, I mean, obviously with Big Bear going into the transfer portal after three games or four games, really, you know, obviously hurt the run stop. And so, obviously, the ability to anchor in there all four quarters against the run is not being good. And then that affects their ability to tackle. But I think conceptually that what they've done is they played hard and they've kind of battened down the edges really, really well versus last year where they gave explosive plays on the outside. I think the biggest weakness on them is the ability to be physical for four quarters. And so, you know, unlike when they played LSU, they never bent. They didn't break. When you look at Michigan, you look at Minnesota, you look at Washington, they were able to get the running game consistent, you know, gut punching running game, you know, going late. And so it's one of those things that that's really hurt them. Now, they got a—I forget the number. His number—I forget the number of the linebacker. He's about 6'6", about 215.
Mm-hmm.
He's my man can cover. Now, what they'll use him is kind of like a Javon Wright. He's the ultimate eraser. But if you can neutralize him, then the running game starts to flourish. I think they're pretty good as far as like their stack linebackers. I think number 10 is a pretty good linebacker. They got actually better defense linemen than people get credit for. They got a transfer portal get. Number 91 from Wyoming. That's a pretty good defensive tackle, three technique, playing well. Maybe that's why Bear went into the transfer portal. So, you know, I think, you know, if they can get on guys and be efficient, Nebraska will really go to the kryptonite, which is stopping the run. And then also, I guess you could say physicality of the game. But then that'll open up some of their, you know, quick passing game tunnel and orbit screens, orbit motions. And then you can get into all the fancy stuff. But you got to win the line of scrimmage, and you got to make them play physical. And it might not be easy early. You can't abandon the running game. It doesn't matter if you're in 10 personnel, 11 personnel, 12, 13, 23, 22, whatever you want. You got to stick your nose in there and stay to the grind.
Jay, what would you – I mean, that would be the thing, right? How you would attack and which players do you think are going to be the players that have to show up in the most brilliant – I mean, Dylan's the answer one. But against – for Nebraska to have offensive success against this USC defense – there's certain spaces on the field. Some of it's right up the gut, right? Yeah. That if they can win up the gut, if Dow, maybe it's Dow, maybe it's another running back. it might be different. Maybe it's getting a pass receiving running back in the flat to make those linebackers go sideline to sideline a little bit, and they fatigue and they don't tend to, you know, they cover the first route pretty well. Second and third, maybe not so much. What would you do?
Well, I definitely the group that needs to have a good day is the offense and offensive line and let's say tight end, and they're active front. And when you go back and watch the Michigan game, they did a really good job of rallying to the ball. When it looked like you had some space outside, or you looked like you had some space when, you know, Michigan likes to run the power with the quarterback and the running back in the convention, it looked like they had the ability to break some runs. They were able to recover and because of the speed of their defense. And so what that lets me know, they're very active, play with a lot of, you know, obviously tenacity. So you got to get on these guys and not just get on them and just kind of block them a little bit. Finishing blocks against USC is going to be, I wish there was a way that you could kind of, you know, give a percentage. You know, it's like a batting percentage, but a finish percentage. Finishing blocks against these dudes, the second effort is going to lead you to big things. You can go right back to when Utah beat them up in the Pac-12 championship. Utah was able to break them in the middle of the second quarter, beginning of the third, by just extra effort. You started to see the 5 and 6 yard run turn into 10, 12. And then what did that do? It put pressure. And even with the number one pick in the draft, it made Caleb Williams look mortal because they started.
Why did Caleb Williams look mortal, DP? Read Jay Foreman's mind for us.
Well, here's some of what they did.
Wait, Jay? Why did Caleb Williams look mortal? We lost you for a minute.
Well, because he held on the ball too much, but then nevertheless, the play calling, they just abandoned the run, and then you were able to rally and hit him. And so, but it was all set up by how Utah was able to play offense. And then guess what? How Utah played offense, guess what they did with it defensively? They kept attacking and hitting him, turnovers, sacks, forced fumbles, and then obviously that led to the demise of USC in that Pac-12 championship.
Jay, is any of that possible without having the best man coverage from the secondary that they've had all year?
Well, it's man coverage initially, but then it's plaster secondary, right? You got a quarterback that can get out on the edges and run pass, right? He can throw on the run. So plaster is going to be huge, right? So I can cover you in the first, 2.5 seconds or whatever they say, 3 seconds. What am I going to do after the quarterback gets out of the pocket? I cannot leave my guy in zone or man. And you have to be disciplined by game plan and who's going to come out of coverage, when to come out of coverage. Don't let a 5-yard run by a quarterback give up an explosive play that could be backbreaking when you've been playing defense or good defense for 2, 3, 4 quarters.
It's got to be kind of the battle of attrition and who's willing to lessen their mistakes. Just get to, you know, a new quarterback on either side and basically a freshman quarterback with a new coordinator. You've got a lot of tendencies are out the window this week. Isn't that the usual way from a defensive standpoint that a new quarterback with a different style and a young new quarterback with a new offensive coordinator, it makes it hard to scheme defensively?
Yeah, it does. But they have a little bit of a crutch there where he played, you know, last year at UNLV. So you're able to look at some concepts that maybe gave him some troubles. He did throw 10 interceptions last year. But he's in a whole new offense that he doesn't know in and out, right? You got to think he's a transfer portal guy, so he hasn't been there for 2 or 3 years like Miller Moss. So I think one thing I'm going to do, I got to make sure my back end is tightened up, and then I'm going to try to bring some heat on him early when I have the chance. I want the ball out of his hands, and I want to dictate where he goes so he doesn't get the confidence to sit back there and go through 2 or 3, 4 reads. Then also, if you're blitzing and you're correctly blitzing with your eyes open, willing to make plays, not blitzing to get blocked, but blitzing to make plays. Even if he does break tackles, you got more guys closer to the line of scrimmage that can run him down.
Jay, isn't it safe to say that you expect their mistakes to be made? Like you expect the mistakes to be made. Whoever makes the fewer or less fatal mistakes have the best chance of winning.
Yeah. I mean, look, if somebody comes in and plays, you know, lights out, then, you know, you tip your hat. But more or less, it's going to who manages mistakes and who settles in faster. Who really settles in, you know, after the first couple, you know, series and the excitement and the anxiety and maybe you stub your toe a little bit, who can really settle in and play football, both offensively, but then more importantly, which defense plays better is going to win this game. Whoever plays better defensively, doesn't matter what you've done rankings before. Nebraska plays good defense, tackling well, rallying to the ball, no explosive plays, they win this game.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the idea. New coordinator, new quarterback, young quarterback with new opportunity, different talent being put on display, and that somewhere something in the bag from Dana's bag shows up that they've been holding off on and maybe didn't feel comfortable running, that they take a chance and run something new, things that we haven't seen from players that we have seen. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'd be good. And then also maybe a player or two. Who knows? And, you know, we'll see who shows up. And plus, you're playing with a little bit of house money before we go to break, DP. Is that you're in within three games. And so if Jay Foreman hadn't played, and say I've been kind of waiting in the wings, you know, if you have the right time, you might throw, you know, a skinny 205-pound Jay Foreman in there at linebacker and see what I can do.
Up jump the devil.
yeah.
There it is.
With that being said, man, Old School's going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Jay Foreman, DP, Austin, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.